Good evening and welcome to our Tuesday evening Bible study, which tonight brings us to the East Gate and beyond that to the Gate of Mifkad and then back to the Sheep Gate.
Come to Nehemiah then and seek that we may receive the treasure of God's word into our hearts. Some people may think we're going a bit too far in delving into all the meanings of names and such like, but I believe that there is truth in God's word. And some people, and maybe it's what we're doing really, just scratching the surface. But when you find the seam of gold, you want to dig deeper and deeper and deeper. You know, when they go into those gold mines in South Africa or wherever, if they find a seam of gold, they don't just scrape the surface and take that and are content with that. No, they dig deeper and deeper until they've got all the gold out. And we can read through this and get 10 minutes worth of blessing and benefit from it as we read the whole chapter. But then we can come back to it and dig a bit deeper and dig a bit deeper. And no matter how deep we dig, there's always gold there. Hallelujah. For it's the precious word of God. We bless his name. We come to Nehemiah chapter 3 then. And we'll read from verse 29, which is where we got to last week. From verse 29. And after them repaired Zadok, the son of Immer, over against his house. And after him repaired also Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate. And after him repaired Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanun, the sixth son of Zalaph, another piece. After him repaired Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, over against his chamber. And after him repaired Malchiah, the goldsmith's son, unto the place of the Nethinims, and of the merchants, over against the gate Mifkad, and to the going up of the corner. And between the going up of the corner, unto the sheep gate, repaired the goldsmiths and the merchants. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we pray that we may indeed have those open and obedient and good hearts, Lord, hearts which you have cleansed to receive your word this morning. That, Lord, we may be blessed by your word, and that you may be glorified and uplifted. We pray that, Lord, you would speak to us in the power of your Holy Spirit, that, Lord, you may reveal to us the things of Christ, that, Lord, he may be glorified and uplifted. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We spoke last week about Zadok, the son of Immer, and there was that idea of righteousness, and there, indeed, in the name Immer, hidden in a foreign name, was the Lamb. And he indeed, to us who were strangers, foreigners, to the covenants of God's promises, we were strangers, aliens, we've been brought in, we've been brought nigh, hallelujah, through the precious blood of the Lamb that was shed. Praise the name of the Lord. And to us who believe, he is precious. He who came to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, on that Sunday which is often referred to as Palm Sunday, riding on an ass, on the colt of an ass, into Jerusalem from the east side. He who came on the ass of peace will come when he comes again. It says in Revelation, riding on a white horse. He is the one who is the mighty conqueror, the mighty victor. And these gates at which we are looking now are concerned with the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. And we are thrilled about that second coming. We have said this morning, we eat this bread and we drink this cup, show forth the Lord's death till he come. And we are looking, of course, to that coming of the Lord for his people, for his church, for he is coming to this earth to rule and to reign. The east gate, which we have read about this morning, faced the Mount of Olives. And it speaks especially of his second coming. We read in Acts chapter 1 that Jesus ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives. And the angels, the messengers that stood by, said, "Why are you looking up into heaven, men of Jerusalem? This same Jesus, in like manner as he has gone, shall so come again." And we know that from Zechariah's prophecy, that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes again, that his feet shall stand upon, shall touch the Mount of Olives. There shall be great upheaval, but the Lord will return. The victorious, the triumphant Lord Jesus Christ. There aren't any repairs mentioned with this gate. The gate is just mentioned. The repairers that are mentioned are working on the wall. They are working from the horse gate, which speaks of the glorious victory and triumph of our Lord Jesus Christ and the victory that we have in him. But there is one that is mentioned that is the keeper of the east gate. And it says, after him repaired also Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate. Now why has the east gate got to be kept? Why has it got to be guarded? It has to be kept and guarded because there was a mighty prophecy given through Ezekiel that this gate was to be reserved for the prince, for the king when he comes. Hallelujah. And so there is a keeper of the gate here in Nehemiah. If we look at Ezekiel chapter 11, first of all, now you'll know, and if you don't know, we'll just remind ourselves, Ezekiel was a prophet who was taken into captivity. He was a prophet of the captivity, of the exile in Babylon. At Nehemiah, we are now after that exile, when the people have come back and are building the temple and are building the city walls. So this Ezekiel prophecy is from years gone by, before Nehemiah. But in Ezekiel chapter 11, first of all, in verses 22 and 23, this is what Ezekiel saw. Now the Lord, you see, isn't limited by place or time. And although Ezekiel was there in the land of captivity, God took him by spirit to see what was going on in Jerusalem. And this is what he saw. Then the cherubims lift up their wings, and the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. Afterward, the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God into Chaldea. And so he was taken back again. And this is the vision that Ezekiel saw then. He saw the glory of God leaving Jerusalem and departing to the east side. He saw the glory of God. That Shekinah glory of God which dwelt in the Holy of Holies. It departed and left. And it hasn't returned. But it's going to. Praise the name of the Lord. They built a temple when they returned. And they wept, didn't they? The glory of it wasn't as the former house. We read that in Haggai, the prophet. That the old men that knew the former temple, they wept because the glory of it wasn't as the former house. But there's coming a day when that glory of God will return. What a wonderful Saviour we have. What a wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. But let us look at Ezekiel 44. Because in Ezekiel 44, and in these last chapters of Ezekiel, Ezekiel is manifesting and showing the vision that he had concerning the temple of the latter days. Not this temple of Nehemiah, but the temple of the latter days. And in chapter 44, and verses 1 to 3, we'll read 1 to 4 actually, then he brought me back the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary, which looketh toward the east, and it was shut. It was shut. Then said the Lord to me, this gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it, because the Lord, the God of Israel, has entered in by it. Therefore it shall be shut. It is for the prince, he shall sit in it to eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate, and shall go out by the way of the same. Then brought he me the way of the north gate before the house, and I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell upon my face. See, even Ezekiel couldn't go out through the east gate. He had to go through the north gate. But that is the gate that is reserved for the king, for the Lord, when he comes, that the glory of the Lord might fill the place. What a wonderful gate the east gate is, speaking of the coming of the Lord. And if you go to Jerusalem now, that east gate is blocked. It was blocked by the Muslims. They walled it up, and they put a stop to all sorts of religious nonsense by doing it. But in fact, in doing so, they fulfilled the word of the Lord even more. And it is now actually all stoned up. It's just a wall. But you can see where the outline of the gate is. But praise the name of the Lord. He is coming. You see, the Lord can use men to fulfill his purposes. They think they're acting against the Lord. But in fact, they're fulfilling his will. They're fulfilling his purposes. And the Lord shall come. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at the names that are associated with this east gate. Shechaniah, which means Jehovah has dwelt. Shemaiah is the son of Shechaniah. Jehovah has dwelt. And in the name of the father of Shemaiah is the remembrance of the fact that Jehovah has dwelt here. But Ezekiel saw the glory of the Lord departing. Jehovah has dwelt. But Shemaiah means Jehovah has heard. And he is coming to deliver his people, the Jewish people, out of all their tribulation and trouble. He's coming to deliver them with a mighty deliverance. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, when God was concerned about his people, Israel in Egypt, he says, I am come down. I have heard their cry. I have come to deliver. And God is going to hear the cry of his people in the latter day, in that time of great tribulation, in that time when all the nations of the world will be surrounding Jerusalem. The Lord will hear the cry of his people. He will pour out the spirit of grace and of supplication upon them, and they shall call upon him, and there will be a fountain open to them for cleansing. The Lord has heard. Thus the gate is kept. Thus the gate is blocked. Thus the gate is shut. Thus the gate in Nehemiah has a keeper, has a guard. But you know, this word east, the east gate, there isn't actually a word east in Hebrew. The word east, literally, in Hebrew is the sun rising or the rising. And so it is a gate which faces toward the sun rising. And that ties in with Malachi's prophecy about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it? It says in Malachi chapter 4, unto you that fear my name shall the sun, S-U-N, the sun of righteousness, arise with healing in his wings. It says in Matthew's gospel concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus, it says that even as the lightning shines out of the east unto the west, not from the west to the east, but from the east unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. All glorious. The sun of righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. But you know, and we do know this, that from Revelation chapter 22, we're not looking as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not looking in the first place for the rising of the Son of Righteousness, but we're looking for that which precedes, that which comes before the rising of the sun. We're looking for the bright and morning star, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his church. In Revelation 22 and verse 16, it says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. The promise to the church that was given in Revelation 2. And in verse 25, it says this, to those in Thyatira, that which you have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. We're looking for his coming. We're looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be caught up to meet him in the air. But this glorious truth concerning Jerusalem, concerning his people, the Jews, he is coming to this earth, the mighty conqueror, the mighty victor, to deliver his people, to establish his kingdom, and he is coming, and the glory of the Lord shall return. Praise the name of the Lord, and fill the house. What does the word of God say to us this morning? In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, it says this, now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Abide in him. Oh, bless the Lord. What a glory it is to look to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is one more gate. There is one more gate. And here are the names associated with that one more gate. We're moving on now from the east gate. And so it's still associated with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this gate comes after the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. And I do want to establish that this morning. There are some names, and we'll just look at them very quickly because it can be tedious looking at lots of names. But the glory of the work of God that is revealed in these names, each of these three names that's mentioned here, first of all, Hananiah, then Hanan, and then Meshulam in verse 30, They're all names that have occurred before. And then in the next verse 31, Malchiah, a name that has occurred before. And this is because this gate is called Mifkad. And there are various meanings which we can bring out, and we will do so in a moment. But there is the idea of a mustering, of a gathering together. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And we see here a gathering of names that have been mentioned before. Unto him, unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Hananiah means God has favoured. We've come across it before. He has stooped down. He has favoured. He is the son of Shelemiah. Now Shelemiah, Shalem means the peace offering. If you look at Leviticus, you can listen to Reuben's tape when it's on general release, but I've still got it at home. I've got hundreds of them at home. But if you listen to Reuben's tape on the peace offering, you'll have an exposition there of the peace offering. And the word for peace offering is Shalem. And Shelemiah is the peace offering of Jehovah. The thank offering is another way in which it's sometimes translated, but it's the peace offering. And that's a glorious reminder of the fact that he is our peace. We have communion with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our peace, our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, bless his wonderful name. God, in the peace offering, has his portion first. And then the priests in Leviticus 7 were authorized to eat of the breast and of the shoulder. They could feed upon the affections and upon the strength of the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. And we this morning, as priests unto God, have been brought in through his grace and through his favour into a place of communion with God, peace with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a place in his affections, and we have a place on his shoulders. He supports us. There is strength. What a wonderful work this speaks of as we are gathered to him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the peace offering. In 1 John chapter 1, it speaks about this glorious communion and this glorious fellowship that we have one with another. And in verse 3, it says that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. There is a glorious fellowship, a communion that we have. And then there's Hanan. And Hanan means, again, favoured. God is bringing out, in this gathering together of people unto him, his grace. Before we actually get to the meaning of the word Mifkad, we've got the wonderful grace of our Lord being displayed again. Now, he is the sixth son of Zelaph. And that's an awkward name, because unfortunately, old Strong says it's of unknown meaning. But he is the sixth son of Zelaph. And one word, and I'll be interested to find out what it means, because the meaning is there for us to discover, but one meaning that we find of a word which is very similar to Zelaph is that there is a word which means lame or halt. There is another word which means roasted under the affliction, and there's another word which means defended. But here we have, anyway, something which speaks of man. And anything which speaks of man falls short of what God requires, is lame, is halt. I see Reuben had a consult. Did you find it?
It's fractured.
Oh, that will do, lovely. Lame, halt, fractured. It has to do, you see. We've got the sixth son of Zelaph. And six speaks of man. Six speaks of man for many reasons. And these numbers are not without significance in the scriptures. You see, it was on the sixth day that God created man. And six is watch falls short of God's perfection, which is seven. Six is also what is added to God's grace, which is five. And we find therefore that six speaks of man's work. But you see, the glorious grace of God is that despite the fact that we are vile sinners, that we are halt and lame, fractured, disjointed, falling short of his glory, he has lifted us up in his grace and mercy that we should be his. Hallelujah. And when he comes for his people, when he comes for the Jewish nation, it will be according to his grace and mercy. It will be the spirit of grace and supplication that is poured out upon them. Hallelujah. Not because they deserve it, not because we've deserved anything, but in his grace. Hallelujah. He says to his people of old, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And then we find Meshulam. And Meshulam means allied, at peace. There are meanings of the word being completed, restored, rewarded, but it's at peace with God. The son of Berechiah, Jehovah has blessed. Hallelujah. And this man, Meshullam, at the end of verse 30 here, it says he repaired over against his own chamber. Not his own house, but his room. Poor old bloke, all he had to live in was one little room. And yet we find him at work looking for the coming of the Lord. He didn't have much in this world. He only had one little room to dwell in, but nevertheless, he was busy about the work of the Lord. And what does the Lord say? He says in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In Luke, it's blessed are ye poor. In Matthew, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All praise his wonderful name. What grace, what mercy there will be at that time when the Lord comes unto his own people. What blessings will abound. They will be at peace. They will be completed. They will be restored. The blessing of God will be upon them, as we know the blessing of God now. Then we come to verse 31, which brings us to this final gate, although it's not the final gate. And it says that Malchiah, the goldsmith's son, repaired unto the place of the Nethinims and of the merchants over against the gate Mifkad unto the going up of the corner. And Malchiah, it means either King of Yah or Jehovah is King. Glorious, you see, because we're thinking of the coming of the King. And who is the King? It is the Lord from glory. It is the Lord of glory. He is the King. Praise the wonderful name of the Lord. That could actually take us, if we've got time, yes, of course we've got time, to the psalm. You know, we love Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. But when we get on to chapter 24, Psalm 24, and we get down to verse 7, it says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. We've been thinking about the gates of Jerusalem. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. These gates that we've been thinking about, and the doors of them, are everlasting gates, because they speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all his works, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. You see, it's still got the thought there of the horse gate and the mighty victory. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise his wonderful name, that Malchiah, the goldsmith's son, the one who was rich, the one of whom the gold speaks, the gold of divinity, he who came as a man will come, King of kings and Lord of lords. And he repaired over against the gate Mifkad. Now this gate Mifkad, it's actually the gate the Mifkad. And it's taken from a verb, pakad, which means, whole list of meanings, it's used in such a variety of ways. But it means to visit. And old Strong puts there, with hostile or friendly intent. We've got the two ideas there. To visit. Or it can mean to count. Or it can mean to do judgment. Or to muster, to gather together. Sometimes even to punish. Here, the gate, the Mifkad, is then the place or the gate of the visitation, or the gate of the gathering, or the gate of the numbering, or the gate of the appointment. This is a gate which speaks of judgment. We know that when the church is called up to be with the Lord, that there will be the judgment seat of Christ. But after the Lord comes to this earth, there will be a judgment which is the judgment of the nations, which is spoken of in Matthew chapter 25. And then after the millennium, there will be the great white throne judgment. But here I believe we are looking at some aspects anyway, maybe of all those things, but particularly as we're thinking about the Lord coming to deliver his people Israel and to establish the kingdom. We are thinking, I think, in terms of what we have in Matthew chapter 25. And if we look at verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? Saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And then there is the judgment on those that are described as the wicked. You see, this is the judgment of the nations. It is not the great white throne judgment. There's no book of life mentioned here. It's not that judgment, the great white throne, but this is a throne upon the earth, the throne of his glory. Here, it is not a matter, in the first place, of grace. It's in as much as you have done, you see. But grace is involved, but it's in as much as you have done. And we've got to understand that Matthew, and this occurs in Matthew's gospel, was writing to Jewish people. This is to do with that which concerns them, with the tribulation, and then with the judgment of the nations when the Lord returns. And he will establish his kingdom, and he will rule the nations with a rod of iron. And he will say, Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. The gate Mifkad. You see how all these things point to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I don't want us just to stop there. I want us to look at that the work goes on. It doesn't stop at the gate Mifkad. But it proceeds. And between the going up of the corner, the Revised Version actually translates that as the upper chamber of the corner, as if there were some sort of watch post or watch room there. From the going up of the chamber unto the sheep gate, repaired the goldsmiths and the merchants. There was further work going on from the gate Mifkad. You see, and the further work going on is to bring back into view again the Lamb of God unto the sheep gate. And as we read through the book of Revelation, we will find that the Lamb of God is the one who is central and who is adored. Hallelujah. So we get these ideas concerning the Lamb. We sing the hymn, Unto him that has loved us and washed us from sin, unto him be the glory forever. Amen. See, in Revelation 5, and I'll take you through just a few scriptures in closing in Revelation. Revelation 5 and verse 12, there is that great and perfect cry of worship and praise to the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a sevenfold ascription of praise. Therefore, it is perfect and complete. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Wonderful Lord. You see, even from the gate Mifkad, we can see the Lamb that was slain. In Revelation 6, and verses 15 and 17, concerning those of the earth, it says that they shall hide themselves, and they shall say, Fall on us, rocks and mountains, hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Oh yes, the Lamb is gentle. The Lamb was the one who died for us. But here is the day of the wrath of the Lamb. The Lamb is in view. In Revelation 7 and verses 13 and 14, it says, One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence did they come? A huge crowd of people. And I said unto him, Sir, you know. These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. All bless the Lord. Verse 17 says, The Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. You see, the work of the Lamb is going on. In Revelation 14, verses 1 to 5, I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song, before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. Hallelujah. What a work of grace has been done in his people. They follow him wherever he goes. What a time that will be when the kingdom is established upon this earth and the Lamb will lead them. And Revelation 17 and verse 14, just that one verse there, it says, concerning those that are on the earth, the enemies of God, they shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. There's the victory again. The Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Revelation 19, 7 to 9. Let's be glad and rejoice and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. These are the true sayings of God. And then in chapter 21, verse 22. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And chapter 22 and verse 5. There shall be no night there. Hallelujah. No more rejection. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was rejected, and at the moment upon this earth, the night of his rejection still exists. But there, at that time, there will be no night. No more rejection. No more darkness. No more evil. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. In verse 3 it says, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. Bless the name of the Lord. What a wonderful Saviour we have as we look to the Lamb. You see this work of the walls of Jerusalem, the gates, it started with the Lamb and it finishes with the Lamb. It starts with the sheep gate, it ends with the sheep gate. Jesus said in Revelation, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Revelation 22, it also occurs in chapter 1. The beginning and the ending, the first and the last. Hallelujah. He is the beginning. He is the completion. Back in Revelation 13 and verse 8, it says, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending, the completion. The Lamb of God. The Lamb, the Lamb, the bleeding Lamb. I love the sound of Jesus' name. It sets my spirit all in a flame. Glory to the bleeding Lamb. Wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain for us, the one who will bear the marks in his body, who does bear them and will bear them. We shall look upon him, and his people will look upon him whom they have pierced, and will turn to him and find in the Lamb that wonderful grace of God. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name, the fountain for cleansing from sin. I'd like us as we close to sing about the Lamb of God. And it's that glorious hymn that I suppose is one of my favourites that I churn out quite a number of times. But it's 351, 351. It's a gospel hymn really, but it's to the glory of the Lord who is the Lamb of God. If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He to redeem you died on Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For he alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. We've looked at the Lamb of God this morning from the point of view of the gates of Jerusalem. But let us look to him from our hearts this morning. We've come round the table. We've thought about the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. We want to worship him this morning. For he is the Lamb that is worthy of all the praise and the worship and the glory. That perfect and complete sevenfold ascription of praise is his.
If you conceive no longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He to redeem you died on Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For he alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. When Satan tempts and doubts appears a sail, look to the Lamb of God. You in his strength
all for tonight. Don't forget our prayer meeting on Thursday evening, and on Sunday morning our program of praise, worship, and hearing the Word of God. Meet you then.